So please drive carefully through roadworks. Observe all signs and speed limits. Stay in the correct lane and keep a safe distance from the car in front. Our road workers are making the road safe for all of us. So please keep the road safe for them.
Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
JobsInKent.com.
Looking for fast, reliable web hosting? Or maybe streaming your own station's content? Then look no further and head over to all the W's, simplecast.co.uk. Easy web streaming. That's all the W's, simplecast.co.uk.
Follow us on Twitter at Channel Radio 2 Talk Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 15th of October. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely gorgeous Miss On a Bike.
All right.
How you doing, bud?
I'm really well. You?
Yeah, I'm okay, mate. What have you been up to?
Oh, you say every week and I say the same thing because I'm so boring at the minute.
You are boring, aren't you?
I am really boring. I'm just writing, writing and writing.
And normally you're either cycling, cycling and cycling or running and running and running. Have you thought about writing and running at the same time?
How do you do that?
I don't know. Or cycling and running. Surely you could get a little contraption for the front of the bike.
Could you imagine it?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
it's not
enough,
very aerodynamic.
No. See, you say this.
Why are you wiggling your finger?
I've got a loaded finger, and I'm pointing it at you because I've got something to tell you about that. In Fruitworks, one of our members in Fruitworks, yeah, actually has a fixed bicycle with a computer desk on it.
Wow!
And they sit there on their laptop while they're cycling.
Wow!
You could do that.
I wouldn't want to.
Writing.
I wouldn't want to.
Would you not?
No.
I'll tell you why. Spill your ink.
No, because you can't focus. If I'm doing something, I'm doing it well. I'm doing it to the best of my potential. I'm not going to go, let's do two things at once.
Last week you told me you're a girl and you could multitask.
I never said that. You did because you tried to get me to do the ironing.
Did I? Oh, dear. Did I really?
Yeah.
That's a shame. So how's the writing been going?
Going well.
Are you almost there? You've got a deadline coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Cool. No, I wouldn't say I'm almost there at all. It's always the same thing. And people always say, how many words did you do today? Stephen's the biggest one. He'll go, did you write today? And I'll go, yeah. And he'll go, how many words did you do? 4. And he'll go, what? And I'm going, no, you just don't understand. Sometimes this process, everybody says to me, oh, do you love writing? I go, I love it. I absolutely adore what I do. But don't think that I sit there in flow and I've got this conduit from heaven coming through me and it just comes out to my fingers, because that is not how I write at all.
Is it not?
Not.
Have you thought about getting one?
What?
A conduit from heaven? Yeah.
Yes.
Can't you get them in Woolworths? No, you can't get them in Woolworths. Woolworths doesn't exist anymore.
No. God, when did that go out of business? Yeah. Anyway, that's enough of me. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks, yeah.
Good. Yeah. How's your, what can we say, exploration into bigger business?
have I been exploring, have I?
Well, you've gone big, haven't you? You've gone big or gone home with Fruit Bowl.
The expansion. The expansion. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's going okay. Yeah, we acquired a building next door and we're growing there. Yeah. No, it's just that I chaired an expert panel at the King's Summit.
How did that go?
Last week, which was all about scaling up businesses. I thought you were referring to that.
No, did you learn anything?
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. And my favourite was Julia Bernard Thompson. Sasha, I love that woman. She's brilliant.
Yeah.
She really is brilliant.
Yeah.
I did make a joke at her expense, but she liked it.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. She was talking about how small businesses fail to price their work effectively and how they fear charging money.
Yeah.
And she was giving examples of where she'd taken people that were charging a few hundred pounds and got them to charge a few thousand pounds. And of course you lose lots of customers, but you gain those that pay the money. And that was the main thing. So I made a joke that my hairdresser had, been on her course and now charged me £2,000 for my haircut.
Well, you don't have a hairdresser.
Exactly. But no, the King Summit was brilliant. It was a very good event.
Good. And I always like to hear that because we've had them on here. Obviously, we had King and we had Simon.
Yeah.
And it's always nice to get that feedback.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good event. It was a really good event. Yeah. So,
have you got Netflix and other available channels are there? But have you got Netflix?
Amanda has Netflix and Lucy has Netflix. Okay. I never watch telly.
Nettie?
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, sorry, I'll turn your microphone up.
Turn everybody's mics up.
I do.
Yeah.
Right.
Why?
You have to go and watch this on Netflix. It's called Inside Bill's Brain.
Inside Bill's Brain?
Bill's Brain. Inside Bill's Brain.
Which Bill is this?
Bill Gates.
Oh, Bill Gates. No, I thought you
might remember. Phenomenal. And it's really interesting. I went to see Melinda Gates speak on the How To Academy. Have you heard the How To Academy in London?
Yeah.
Awesome. I was doing a bit of research, actually, on John Gordon, who's the founder. Very interesting. Do you know how many events he puts on a week? 47 events a week.
Wow.
I know, right? And you wonder how success comes. 47 events a week. Amanda, give me some feedback on that. So very interesting. Just a great program to watch, and I watched it with my little one Louis, who's 18, and I'm so pleased I did, because we both came out with the same feeling, the same thought about what we took from it,
right? Which was
work harder.
Yeah,
that was his whole ethos, his whole feeling. If I can't solve it, how do I solve it? I work harder at it. I find that phenomenal.
That's fairly much the answer to most things, to be
do
honest.
You think? Yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you need people to watch that. So everybody's like, oh, my God, he can code and he did this. Hold on, he's been doing this since he was 8.
Mm.
He had a terrible relationship with his mother as he was growing up. So it's really interesting to watch how she challenged that social etiquette in him. Look, it's great that you focus on what you're doing, but you need to come out of that focus. And you do need to be able to speak to people and talk to people and collaborate with people. And it was fascinating. Mm. But still, all the way through, everything you saw, even his partners that he chose and who he was with, they were just friends. You know, that proximity is power. Just friends. It wasn't, oh, we've got the same values and beliefs. How many people do we talk about and hear about this in business? They'll go, I went into business with my friend. And like all partnerships, they fell apart because one is more focused in one area, the other has a more multi-focus. Bill Gates was literally obsessive about coding and how to solve this universal problem. And then his friend was a drummer and was amazing human, but in lots of different areas. And obviously the equilibrium changed. It's fascinating. Go and watch it. I really highly recommend it. And try and get your children or children in your family or nephews, nieces. So if you don't have children, it's still not an excuse, you know. Get them to sit there with you and discuss. It's true, though, isn't
it? Get a child.
Get a child.
Get a child to watch
it. It's really interesting to sit there and discuss and see if they come up with the same, what matters to you. Does it matter to you as well?
Mm. It's interesting. It's interesting that you talk about this desire to work and to keep working. And you quite often hear people say, oh, I need to take a break or whatever. But the whole basis of Bill Gates' multi-billion-dollar empire was built on the fact that he didn't take a rest when somebody else did. Gary Kildall, who owns CPM, when IBM were trying to find a disk operating system, they went to Gary Kildall, who was the world's leading specialist. He developed CPM. And they arranged a meeting with him. And when IBM arrived for the meeting, he'd gone flying his plane. And they said, but we had a meeting. They went, yeah, but he got bored, so he decided to have some me time. So they never went with Kildare and his CPM, at which point Gates stepped in and said, oh, I can do you an operating system. And Gates actually bought DOS for someone else. He didn't develop it. But it just shows you that, you know, that on the small things like that are fortunes and dynasties built.
Absolutely. And, yeah. I was saying to Louis as well, I said, look at the end result. What we see now is Bill Gates, this billionaire who's got this, and he's got this foundation, and he's done it with his wife, Melinda, and blah, 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 blah. But what you don't see is this 8-year-old in his bedroom when all his mates were outside, you know, and it's the things that Gary Vaynerchuk speak about and everybody speaks about is actually he was the one who was doing what he was going to do when he was 20 or 30 or 40. It's very, and he was the one, he didn't even think, it didn't come across that it was a compromise or that he was missing out. He just chose, you know, it was like, it was just this chosen pathway. He was desperate for knowledge. And he does this thing, and I'm going to go and do it. It's fascinating. He takes a thinking week, even now, because he needs to clear away from, and I said this about writing, and I said, I wish I could just get away from everything, being a mum, being a partner, being everything to everybody, and literally just focus on writing. And when you can do that, I tell you.
One of the biggest sources of failure is people prevaricating about things, as analysis paralysis, where they'll sit there and overanalyze something until doomsday before they commit to doing something. Whereas any successful entrepreneur will tell you, you get to a point where you go, do you know what, let's just do it and see what happens.
Yeah.
And Richard Branson's famous for that, screw it, let's do it.
Yeah.
And that's how it really works, is that basically you go, oh, I can't be bothered. We'll just try it and see what happens and then go from there.
Exactly. And also, like, we found and we see a pattern here, I think. People are always saying each week, this wasn't what I started business up in. It was just an idea. Yeah. But actually this came and this came. And I think we need to show and role model that more and more, that actually the thought process is never going to be the end result of the business, that you end up being whatever success looks like to you.
It was funny, at the King's Summit, there was a talk from a firm of very successful accountants, and they said, they were talking about business plans, and they said, hands up in the room, everybody that updates their business plan, quite a few hands went up. Hands up all those people that didn't have a business plan at all, ever. And I'm the only one with my hand up.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've never had a business plan ever in my life.
I was amazed you're the only one with your hand up.
So yeah, am yeah, I. Yeah.
No, the rest were lying.
I think that too.
Yeah, it may not have been a long document or whatever, but I don't even think a lot of people have got
a fact packet.
Yeah.
I think nowadays we think we should, and we've got this 5-year plan, and la, la, la. Bill Gates didn't have a 5-year plan. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me.
The famous Lao Tzu, author of The Art of War.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The best laid strategic plans never. Let's get this quote right. The best laid strategic plans always fail when you engage the enemy. And it's true. You can write all the plans in the world that you like, but reality kind of impinges on it. Anyway, good stuff. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor, who are lovely folks at MyZone, the community portal, myzones.com. Do check them out. Have a look. There's loads of interesting stuff on the website there. You can actually earn money from it as well by recommending people to join. So do check it out. Have a look and post your stuff on it, myzones.com. We'd like to hear from you, all the businesses out there in the wonderful southeast of England and further afield. We have listeners.
Well, we are global.
We are global. We have listeners on a regular basis in Turkey and Luxembourg and the east coast of the US and other exotic locations.
I've got Australia now.
You've got a what?
I've got Australia now.
Oh, you've got Australia.
To my show.
Okay, right, okay, right. Cool.
Carry on.
What, the whole of it or just
the
bits?
Whole of the conversation? Or?
No, the whole of Australia. All 19 million of them are tuned into the conversation.
Are you mad? Did they listen to my whole hour show? How rude, of course. What's the point of just listening for 10 seconds? Carry on. You started off laughing.
So before. I didn't know you had a show.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah.
And when's that then?
It's tomorrow. It's tomorrow from, it's on a Wednesday. It's from 1 till 2. It's every
is it?
Wednesday.
Is it on this station?
It is on this station. Oh, it's right. On Channel Radio, all Studio right. 2.
Okay, in here, basically.
Yes, yeah, tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who's your guest tomorrow? Because you hadn't mentioned it yet.
Yeah, yeah, we've been 17 past. Minutes with it on the air. And
I
you
nearly didn't mention it last week, Nettie, at all.
Did
really?
She not? I had to remind her.
I really didn't.
And normally, that's what we talk about for the first 10, 15 minutes.
What else to talk about? It's the main thing, isn't it? It's the main show.
Who's your guest tomorrow, bud? She doesn't remember.
Diane McCann.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
What? Who is Diane McCann?
Oh, there you go. Who is Diane McCann?
You're going to have to listen to find out, aren't you? Okay. Along with the rest of Australia.
Is it tomorrow? Is it
tomorrow.
From?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Is she a kangaroo hunter? Or?
Can you get those?
Yeah. Sheep farmer.
There's not very much hunting going on, there is it? They're there.
Yeah.
Just pick them up and... Velcro, up you go. Anyway, can I just say,
yeah.
Twitter's gone mad just from the first 15 minutes of this show.
Do you want to start reading some tweets then?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go straight for Amanda because it's just hilarious and I knew it would poke the bear with her. She's gone high bird in a bike, business bunker and vanilla web. 47 events a week. I have one answer to that, but this is the polite answer. I've never been so tired in my life.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's been knocking out events herself.
Well, exactly. Exactly. So just think of the team that this events company has got. 47 events a week.
That's incredible.
Once a week, they try, wait, ready for this, Amanda, they try to do 1,000 people event. And every fortnight, they put on an event for 2,500 people.
Wow.
Can you imagine trying to sell those seats?
Where are these taking place?
All in London.
Right, okay.
Wow,
the How To Academy, very interesting.
It's a subtly changing field. In the US, it's a big deal. People go to all kinds of events and all kinds of learning experiences as a form of entertainment. It's really not difficult
That's
to sell things.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas in the UK, we've never really done that. It's if anybody went anywhere, it's only if you work for a company and they bought the corporate tickets and made you go. Yeah. I don't know if you know. Regular listeners know because I go on about it. But for many years, I worked as a motivational speaker on the international circuit. And I was speaking at an event in Denver, in Colorado. And it was an industry event. And at the end of it, a chap came up to me and he said, how long are you in Denver for? And I said, well, I'm staying another couple of days. He said, oh, if I put on an event on Thursday night, would you speak at it? And I said, well, if you paid me. And he said, yeah. And we negotiated a fee, which was reasonably handsome, for me to stay. And I said, but it's Tuesday now and you want me to speak at an event on Thursday and I'm charging you a lot of money. I don't care if you don't sell any tickets, you're paying me. And he went, oh, I'll pay you in advance. So that's not a problem. So between Tuesday and Thursday, he managed to organise the event, put it on, and sell 400 tickets.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You'd never do that in 3 months in the UK.
And you've hit the nail on the head. Ed?
On the head. You've gone all Cockney. I've got her. Yay, I've got her out of Devon and into South London. Yeah, sorry,
God. Lord. And you've hit it right. And it is all about entertainment. So they're putting on things like AI. So what's the future in AI? They're doing lots of... educational, but it's an evening event. There's no teas and coffees. There's no, you know, chat. There's no networking.
Yeah.
It is literally in and out, and you're there listening to the speaker and what they've got to say. So they get in some big, big speakers. So, for example, myself, Lisa and Debs, so Lisa Settle, Deb Turner, and my daughter, News, we went up to London last week and listened to Marie Forleo. So Marie Forleo is one of the top female entrepreneurs in America at the minute. She's just published a book, and a lot of people are doing this. Do you remember I said we went up to see Elizabeth Gilbert, Eat, Pray, Love?
Mm.
Again, they sit on the stage, they've got seats, and they're talking about probably not even their writing process. Sometimes it's about the book, sometimes it's more than that. But the audience is there for them. It's fascinating, and it is an evening of entertainment, especially when you're with those girls.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
And we need more of those events. We need 47 of them a week.
Amanda.
Is what we need. Come on, Amanda, get on it.
Come on, love.
Yeah.
We can do this.
Yeah. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, MPSL, on the Twitter, and they say, hello, Vanilla Web, Bird on a Bike, and all the others. Thank you, Paul. We'd love and appreciate a Business Bunker shout-out today, please. We are surveyors based in Rochester.
Nice.
And they're very lovely people, they are too. And I was talking to Dee, who's one of the directors there, the other night on Twitter, about Medway Council had repaired a pavement and they put pictures up of it, of their repair. Very proud. It was atrocious. The repair was atrocious. It was a slabbed pavement and some of the slabs are broken. So what they did is they removed the broken slabs and tarmacked the bits that weren't broken. So you had half the path was tarmac and the rest was a slab.
I quite enjoy that, though.
It was ridiculous.
I quite enjoy the humanistic side of that, to think, you know, the lazinistic side of that. No, the level of standard that we all have a difference in, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but from an aesthetic point of view, if you wanted to tarmac it, you should have tarmacked the entire width, not half of it. It was ridiculous.
At least they did it. Maybe that was their absolute...
That was the budget.
Yeah. Maybe they did it in record time or something.
Yeah.
In 5 minutes before they ended their shift. I don't know.
You want to talk about record time? My son's just
arrived. You're very loaded.
I know, my fingers
today.
Loaded.
What is going on?
My son's just arrived back from Japan.
Is that why you're loaded?
No. He spent a day in Japan, right, on Saturday. On Saturday in Tokyo.
In the whole of Japan?
No, in Tokyo.
Right.
And on that day in Tokyo, they had the worst hurricane they've ever had in their history.
Yeah.
They had a 5 on the Richter scale earthquake and a volcanic eruption, okay? And the next day, everything was back to normal. Yeah? And there was a fantastic picture. A road, a major artery road, had been blocked by a landslide. And in 24 hours, they built a new road around the landslide.
Yeah, but we could debate about this all the time. How do China build up their infrastructure as much as they do?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have health and safety.
No, but this is in Japan, and they do.
It's true, no, right? That's the honesty of
but
it. They
this
don't
is in
have.
This is in Japan.
Do they have
and Japan,
it over there?
And Japan has health and safety big time.
Do they have more labour there?
No, they
so
just.
So what's the answer?
Well, they just do it. They're just used to doing it, and they mobilise everybody to do it.
Well, they must have processes and strategies.
Well, exactly. They plan for it, don't they?
You're
and they
very
go,
angry today.
Yeah, no, well, because it drives me nuts that we can't do anything properly. Everybody
exactly.
sits around moaning about it rather than getting on and doing it, and that's the single biggest problem.
Yeah,
you've only got to look at the roadworks on the M20. You know, there's no one working on them. It hasn't been for 20 months, but the road's
road
still closed.
Works?
Yeah, all
the
of them.
Whole of
yeah,
it is horrific. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that. I'm going to play some cheesy tunage.
Well, you couldn't pick Wisdom today, could you?
I couldn't. I tried. I picked this, and this is really, really tenuous. It's the Lighthouse Family.
Right.
Lifted.
What are you trying to say?
Kathy
yes.
is involved with the Leescliffe lift.
The funicular.
Yeah.
So this is for you, Kathy.
Do you get it?
I love it.
Do you get it? Do you get it? It's good, isn't
sort
it?
Sort of.
Yeah. It's cheesy, I told you.
Well, let's listen to it. Like a rainbow coming through the blue. When it all gets dark and then the whole thing falls apart, I guess. It doesn't really matter about the rain, 'cause we'll get through it anyway. We'll get up and start again, 'cause we could be lifted, lifted, lifted. We could be lifted from the shadow.
We'll get through it anyway. We'll get back to the start. flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. That was the Lighthouse Family with Lifting. We'll explain that all later in the programme, I'm sure. Welcome back. We've got loads of tweets. We've got loads of emails to read. I've got a tweet here from Bennett and Friends, and it says, "Hi, Paul. We'd love a shout-out on the Business Bunker, please, and a huge thank you for the shout-out last week and the contact you gave us, Rita Kitchen and Jules Serkin. We are in discussions." Well, that's what we're all about, trying to help businesses in the local community.
I like that.
Mm. What Jules, you got, Bird?
Is this Jules having a new kitchen?
Yeah, well, while you're thinking about that, I've got another one from a new listener.
I'm not thinking about anything. But you carry on.
Somebody remove her batteries. I'm sure you must be thinking about something, surely.
What am I thinking about?
I don't know.
Why am I thinking?
Well, you picked up the emails. I thought you were going to think about reading one.
No, I want to go. Twitter's gone mad.
You want to go back to Twitter, do you?
You carry on.
Is that all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yourself, yeah, it's okay. Your show.
I wouldn't like to upset you or anything.
No, you're fine. I'm not the angry one today. It's you, and then Nettie's waiting to get on air, I tell you. She's ready for
it. Is she angry too?
She wants to talk about public sector and everything.
No, I don't think you should.
We've only got an hour. Well, I've had a tweet from a new listener called The Saucy Affair. Yeah. Ooh. This could be good, couldn't it? I haven't read it.
It's going to be a sauce, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tomato sauce.
It says, "Hey, Vanilla Web, we'd love a shout-out on the Business Bunker radio show, please. We're a start-up currently crowdfunding, and we need all the shout-outs we can muster. And they make award-winning sauces for cooking from scratch in a bottle. No added salt, no added sugar or preservatives, just real, fresh, plant-based ingredients. Give them a follow on the Twitter. Saucy Affair Raw is their Twitter handle.
Nice.
And they're crowdfunding at the moment, so put some money into it. Yeah. What you got?
Is that you're telling me, or is
I'm
that...
I'm just looking at you, but she's in a right feisty mood.
I don't know, really. Yeah. It's like mum and dad are fighting.
Yeah, yeah. Can I just say, Bert and Ernie are on the TV. Yeah.
Who are you looking at? You, Bird.
It's really interesting. I was just listening to Malcolm Gladwell's got a new book out. You like Malcolm Gladwell?
I do. Yeah, yeah.
He's got a new book out called Talking to Strangers. Very, very interesting read. If you love Malcolm Gladwell with The Tipping Point and Outliers and David and Goliath and Blink, you've got to read this. It's probably his best one.
Do you know my favourite story about him was about Hush Puppies, the shoes? Did you hear that one? You know Hush Puppies, the suede shoes. They were really big in the 70s and 80s, you know, dad shoes, basically.
Nettie, we don't know.
No, Cathy won't know either.
No.
Very young. We're all very young. But tell us about it,
well, they were
Uncle
dad
Paul.
Shoes, yeah? Yeah, in the 1980s, and Hush Puppies made a lot of money flogging shoes, yeah? And then they went out of fashion because they were dad shoes. And there was a punk band, and I can't remember which one it was. I think it may have been The Clash. Anyway, they went to a concert, and the guy lost his shoes, so he went into a charity shop and bought a pair of Hush Puppies, yeah, for like £2. and wore them on stage. And within 3 months, Hush Puppies were back, and they became became the fashion statement to end all fashion statements, and they just went wild with people buying up Hush Puppies.
There's another story that's very relevant at the moment, and people love him. Gary Vaynerchuk has done that with Swiss, you know, the
Swiss rolls.
No, with the shoes, Swiss.
Oh right, okay,
hey, Swiss.
Yeah.
He's done the same with trainers.
Yeah,
and it's literally, and this is what they're loving to do now. Some of these entrepreneurs are actually doing this. So they're getting really, really old brands and then literally rejuvenating them. Seems to be a trend at the minute.
Right.
Very interesting you brought that up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited about this bit. Ready for this?
Go for it.
Apply for the Ashford Business Awards. Now, we can do this.
Can we do this?
Now, I'll tell you why I can do it.
Hang on. Does it have you in the catchment?
It does.
But that never happens. Let's just apply anyway.
The pressure that Bird has applied over the last 2 years
global
to the awards committee has finally paid off.
It doesn't matter what awards are promoted, where she
never
lives,
am
she's
I allowed,
never
to,
allowed
apply
to apply
because I have a global show, Kathy. But anyway, now apparently I can apply for this. Are you in Ashford, Folkestone, Deal, Dover, Hive, or Romney Marsh? Apply for the Ashford Business Awards. Free to apply with a quick and easy form. The awards dinner and presentations. Are you emceeing?
I am.
Are on Wednesday the 20th. I should. I live in Hyde.
Yeah.
20th of November. Actually, I don't anymore, do I? I'm focusing at Ashford International Hotel.
Did you move because of the award situation?
Oh, yeah.
No, you're going to have to apply now,
don't you? Anyway, this is Business Awards. It's www.businessawardskent.co.uk. We can all apply.
We'll all apply.
Let's do it.
I can't apply. I'm chairing the event.
And you're not in this catchment area. You're Tenterden. It doesn't say Tenterden.
You can't go.
Nettie and I can apply.
That's a shame.
Martin, are you in this catchment area?
No, we're not. Midway.
Kathy is.
Kathy, you are.
Yeah, Kathy can apply.
Excellent.
It's girl power.
Yeah.
We can write application for you, though.
I can't do that, though, Martin. If I'm I'd have to do it myself.
She likes to write.
I write.
Yeah.
I love
four words a day. You get going.
Don't tell Stephen, he's away at the minute. So if he ever knew that I'm only written four words, I just go, yeah, love, I'm doing really well. I don't even lie. I don't even say my word countage anymore.
She is in for the Alice Springs Award, though, because she's big in Australia. Yeah. I've had a tweet from Diamond Circle Weddings, and I say, good afternoon, Vanilla Wear, Burn on a Bike, Riftonet, Kathy and Martin. The best thing about running my own business is learning to do new things. For example, yesterday I learnt how to generate a QR code, and he's given us a picture of a QR code. Oh, so thank you for
well
that,
done.
Paul. Yeah, well done. What it does, I don't know, because I haven't tried it yet, but I'm sure it'll be interesting.
Well, it's GIF-off again. They're all going at it mad now.
Are they?
Yeah. Well, did you know Tracy Ferguson's listening live?
To the first half of the show, I saw that. Yeah,
yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Toast Herne Bay have said, could you kind of give us a shout out for our Elvis night on Saturday, the 9th of November, 7 pm at Toast Cafe? Elvis will be rocking Toast on the 9th of November. Tickets are available in the cafe or via PayPal, 15 quid each. ToastHerneBay@gmail.com if you want to find out more about it or book your ticket. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Elvis at Toast.
Do they only do toast?
What?
Do they only do toast?
No.
In toast?
No.
I'd love that, though. Wouldn't you just love
that? Just a toast
that?
Cafe.
Yeah.
That's a bit Hoxton, isn't it? Where, you know, like cereal bars and stuff like that.
Good Marmite and proper butter. Sourdough bread.
And I thought toast. You were friend.
About Toasty Soldiers?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We got an opportunity.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
A toast restaurant.
I wasn't being funny either.
No, I know you weren't.
I know you're not. Of course, from Kent, here you go, Richard. Are you ready? Hey, yeah. Bird and a Bike, you don't even get a mention anymore. Can we have a Bird and a Bike shout-out, please? Buy, sell your local cars on carsfromkent.com. Cheers, Mitch.
Did he say love? Kiss, kiss?
No, he only ever says cheers, Mitch. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Do you know what? I think we ought to talk to our first guest.
Who is it?
It's Martin. It's Martin Reeves. And Martin is from the Friends of Wisdom Hospice. Martin, welcome onto the Business Bunker Show.
Good afternoon.
It's a pleasure to see you here for the first time on the Bunker Show.
Yep.
We were reminiscing. The last time we met each other was a couple of years ago, a sadly failed event that we both went to where we were the only two that turned up.
Yeah, plus the one guy who turned up, who actually you helped him out in life, didn't you?
I did. There was one lad, there was one member of the audience that turned up who's a student from the university, and he came all the way over for this event, and nobody else showed up, so the event was abandoned. I can't remember his name, which is really unforgivable of me, but we struck up a conversation at the time, and I was able to help him find a job, which was really good. Yeah. But anyway, Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about you and about the Friends of Wisdom?
So, yeah, I'm Martin Reeves. I'm the Chief Executive of the Friends of the Wisdom Hospice. We support the Wisdom Hospice in Rochester, and the hospice supports people in Medway and Swale. And we're riding on the back of Hospice Care Week last week, and there's some amazing stats around hospices. There are 200 hospices in the UK.
Right, okay.
We've got 3,000 beds collectively. And through the year, we look after about 200,000 people.
Wow.
It's an amazing story of collaboration with the public sector, with the NHS, how we support the healthcare by funding £1.4 billion worth of care every year through these 200 hospices. And we get £350 million from the government. Now, I've been in the sector for 8 years, and we've trebled our income over those 8 years, which is quite amazing. But we do it through charitable donation. So I feel lifted every day because I've got to raise £2,500 a day.
Right, okay. No pressure then.
No.
So I just wanted to clarify that. The hospices, did you say there were 200?
200, over 200, yeah.
There's 200 in the UK. They're not NHS buildings. They are all individual charities.
Yeah, they are. They're apart from about 12 of us, because we are an NHS hospice in Medway.
Right.
That's quite unusual.
Right.
But the others are all independent charities that do an amazing amount of work in the community.
Okay. And you have to raise £2,000 a day to keep it going, because they're not cheap things to run.
Nope.
How do you do that?
Oh, a wide variety. So for Sunday, for instance, I was up in London cheering on our Royal Parks half marathon runners.
Yep.
The weekend last month, I was leading a group trekking from Newcastle to Carlisle across Hadrian's Wall.
Wow.
We've got a coffee morning coming up next Friday, and it's amazing when the phone rings. A group of ladies want to do a cancer-oke. It's like a karaoke, but they're the ladies who have lost their husbands through the hospice and want to raise money for us.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's really weird. You talk about learning things every day. I learn how to do things all the time.
Mm. It's it never ceases to amaze you how people, one, react to some of these things, and two, how generous some people can be in terms of supporting it. But, of course, things like running a hospice costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you get involved in many, many fundraising activities. Do you gain income from any other source, or is it all fundraising activities?
No. So the government on average gives 31% funding to hospices. Mm. With an NHS hospice, we get a bit more than that. We get 75%.
Right. Okay.
And that goes back to an old agreement that's 35 years old. But it's the generosity of people never stops to astound me. It really doesn't. And it's really a life-affirming job, because you hear lots of negativity in the world. Mm. All I really see is positivity. Mm. And that's why I love what I do.
And it's an odd thing to see positivity around an end-of-life story, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Let me tell you my story. I was working from home 10 years or so ago, and I was looking after one of my mates, my father-in-law, who had cancer.
Right.
And he wasn't being treated, in my opinion, the best way at hospital. Right. They have a difficult job to do. And I rang the hospice, can you help? And they said, yeah, bring him in tomorrow. And suddenly all the care became joined up.
Right.
Not just for him, but for me, for his wife, for the family. And I just thought, wow.
Mm.
And how is this funded? And I found out. I thought, wow, again. And just, well, why am I doing what I'm doing? Let's work for hospice.
See, isn't that the kind of story we were talking about earlier? You know, you don't sit down with a plan and go, hey, I was going to, you know, things happen, you react, you do something. Something happens, and before you know it, you're heavily involved in it and doing it. And I love those kind of stories. And they are real, and how most things in this world actually get done.
Mm.
So tell us about the work of the hospice itself. What does it actually do? How does it actually work?
Right. So I think the best example would be, think of a clock. So we put the patient in the centre of the clock, and you've got all the time around the outside that are different aspects of care. They could be a hospice nurse, a GP, a district nurse, hospitals, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, all kinds of different things. And the idea of a hospice, I think, is to signpost the ideal person for care at the right time, to maintain that patient's independence, to let them be where they want to be if they want to be at home, and also to keep them safe and pain-free.
Right. So are you saying that they do work with people in their own homes as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So the Wisdom Hospice has 15 patients at the hospice itself.
Right.
But the big story is today we're supporting over 400 people at home across Medway and Swale. And each hospice around the UK is doing roughly the same thing.
Yeah. And that's important, isn't it? Because people feel more comfortable in their own home.
Yeah.
Especially when they're in a vulnerable state and, you know, an unhappy
and
state.
That's the story. If we go out on the street now, Paul, and ask people, where do you want to die? They'll say at home.
Yeah. Yep,
but
absolutely.
When it comes to it at the end, the hospice can actually step in and help a lot more. And that's, I'm a businessman still, and I think it's the best managed death you can get.
Right.
And if we could actually apply that to more people without life limiting illnesses, but across the spectrum a bit more, then we'd live in even a happier country. And the UK has got the best system for hospice care in the world.
Right, okay.
You should be very proud of this country for that.
Right.
I certainly am.
Absolutely. So you, the hospice itself has, did you say 15
patients? 15 patients, yeah.
In-house,
yep.
But 400 people that they care for in their homes.
That's right.
Okay. And that's a big undertaking, isn't it? There's a big logistics exercise there as well.
It's huge, and it's just amazing. The can-do attitude I see from the staff, each member of staff, doesn't matter what department they're in, is phenomenal. And I've always thought that if I had that in my previous business, I'll be on a beach somewhere in the Caribbean having a couple of feet up, you know.
Yeah.
But no, respect to the staff across all. We've got about 80 staff at the Wisdom Hospice, and they're amazing. Across the country, there are thousands of staff, about 40,000 staff in total. It's phenomenal.
Cool. And presumably, is there some kind of, I don't want to call it a trade association, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's a collection of people that run hospices and stuff like that.
So, yes, there is Hospice UK,
right.
That umbrella organisation. Now, I had franchises previously, and we all went to these franchise meetings, but no one said how you did what you did. It was a guarded secret.
Right.
I spent Friday in Northamptonshire talking to two neighbouring hospices about how they're collaborating, support each other, and the doors were open, they were totally transparent, and we were exchanging ideas, and it was just amazing, so motivating.
The power of collaboration is very often overlooked, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even in the private sector in business, collaboration is a big thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about this at the King's Summit. Back in the 20th century, a lot of stuff was about competition. In the 21st century, we're moving away from that, and we're moving much more into a collaborative type of approach. And what you're suggesting there, Martin, is the pinnacle of that, where people are collaborating to help each other with ideas and support and feedback. Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm here today. Linda Cloak from MyZone, she's supporting us with her the new MyZone idea. Please visit that website, have a look at it.
Yeah.
They're supporting charities, but she supports me as well.
Yeah.
So she invited me to come on the show today to actually promote what we do.
Absolutely.
So very grateful to Linda for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you've highlighted some of the activities that you and the people that you work with have been involved in terms of raising funds. For the people out there listening, what are the kind of things they could do that would help you? What do you need from the people of Medway and Kent and wherever, really?
The perfect question. There's so many ways to get involved with us. You could volunteer in one of our shops, you could volunteer at the hospice, you could fill a black sack up with goods for one of our shops.
Right.
On average, a black sack, think of a rubbish sack full of pre-loved clothes, raises about £40. Apart from in Rochester, where we have a few very, very wealthy supporters who are amazing, and we've been selling items £200.
Right.
Some shoes, some treasure, recycling, and the hush puppies are coming back, apparently.
Bit of Gucci in the old bag.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's amazing what gets given to us.
See, I'm your ideal donor for something like that, because my weight changes so often that I end up donating clothes that have still got the labels on, because I bought them and now they don't fit me.
Well, yeah, this is great for radio, but the shirt I'm wearing today is what I bought in the charity shop.
Right.
I tend to dress myself in there.
So how many shops do you operate as Friends of Wisdom?
We've just got three.
Yep.
Sitting Bull in Chatham and Rochester, and we're thinking about going online to eBay next as our next shop.
Yeah. And those shops sell clothes, furniture?
All clothes, household items, DVDs, books a little bit, but really 70% is hanging items, mostly ladies' clothes.
Right. Okay. Is there anything, you just while people are thinking of filling a sack and donating, is there anything you can't handle?
Well, videos.
Right.
We pretty much anything you can't pick up and carry. So if you can't, if you don't bring us a dining table, because I can't carry that, bring us a net of tables, maybe.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, we'll take anything.
Right, okay.
And if you can't sell it through the shop, we can recycle it.
Okay.
So we do recycle what we can't sell.
Okay. That's important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise some people can treat it as an alternative to dumping stuff.
Yeah. We'll accept everything and we'll make a way for it to make some money.
Fantastic. That's really brilliant. So, and you operate three shops in Medway, Sittingbourne and...?
Rochester, Sittingbourne and Chatham, yeah.
Right, okay. Cool. So, Martin, if people want to find out more about Friends of Wisdom and ways they can get involved, ways they can help fundraising, do you allow people to stage their own events, as it were?
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got a quiz going on next week in Sheerness. The guy rang yesterday saying, organising it for us.
Right.
Will I come along and say something? Absolutely. I'll bring a team and he'll raise the money. We'll have a great time on the evening and we'll come away with a donation, which is amazing.
That's fantastic.
And that's the growth through this last year has been through people arranging their own events.
Right.
We're inspiring them to do it. My job really is to tell the story.
Yep.
And then to inspire you to do work for us.
Right. Okay. So if people want to find out about Friends of Wisdom, what's the best way of doing that?
The website is the best thing. Mm. All the W's, F-O-W-H, Friends of Wisdom Hospice, fowh.org.uk, or give us a ring, 01634 831 163. I'm in the office most days. I'm Martin. Please ask for me. Or there's Beth, Claire, Emma, John and Charlotte and Maisie in the office. Give us a ring. Have a chat to us.
The whole team at the Friends of Wisdom.
That's it.
Fantastic.
All of us doing our
work. Martin, thank you for that. It's a really brilliant thing that you're doing. It's a much needed service that hospices provide in the UK. I wasn't aware of the numbers behind it, and it's interesting how you say that we kind of lead the field in terms of provision of that kind of service in the world, and that's something we should be proud of.
Oh,
because dignity is everything.
Absolutely.
And As a community, it's important that we support everybody. And I think what you're doing is a fantastic job, and all power to you. Thank you for telling us about it.
What I love about the hospice, and when I was a nurse, we had so much direct contact, and obviously we've all had an experience of the hospice. And the biggest thing that I think you gift families, and this is something that we miss and neglect, and I'm going to use that word neglect, and sometimes it can be for any reason, is we aren't able to communicate and get the family to speak to each other in this very difficult emotional time for everyone. The last thing we want to do is lose hope, and yet that's the one thing we want to do is talk and say how we think and feel. And that's something the hospice absolutely gifts families, is the ability to speak openly, speak their truth, and speak about those end stages of living, which is dying, and we aren't able to do that in the acute sector. So for me, I love this. I don't know how more we can help you. So I really want you to be really prescriptive and tell us what you want from us, Martin.
Well, just we've got to raise $2,500 a day, and that's difficult enough anyway.
Yeah. That is difficult. I don't think people. Is so difficult.
So that's a very difficult question to answer. What I would say is, don't be frightened. Don't be frightened of what a hospice is. So many people have a preconception of death and dying. That's what we do, absolutely. But it's a place of humour. It's a place of liveliness. Get involved with us. You'll enjoy yourself.
It's amazing you said that. I saw yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, there was a video doing rounds on social media of an Irish chap that had died. And part of his bequest was he recorded a message that was put in the coffin, and on a timer it played while they were lowering the coffin in, and it was there was this banging sound, and he went, "It's Mick, let me out, it's dark in here."
People didn't know what to do.
He's going, "Oh, I'm not dead really." And he pre-recorded this before he passed away.
But there are so many beautiful stories there. If you went in there, it is full of life, which is... a complete oxymoron, isn't it, Martin? It is full of life and living and speaking, and that's where love, I think you find true love, is in the hospice area.
Yeah. If I've got time, one quick story about the nurses are incredible, but they're listeners. And one of the fantastic nurses was talking to a patient, how long have you been married? And he said, 56 years. Could you give me an example of just got married, how you've kept that alive for so long and stayed together? And he said, well, date night's the most important thing. We have regular date nights. When was your last date night? Well, I've been poorly, so quite a while ago. Oh, what do you want a date night? We'll go out for a meal somewhere. She then questioned him through the day and found out his favourite meal was salmon. That evening, he found the therapy centre, dressed the table in the therapy centre, candelabra, the whole lot. He got dressed for dinner, and his wife came in, and they had salmon and a date night that evening. Very simple things, didn't cost a lot of money, but it was because they were listening.
Yeah.
And what you said about we enable the end of life and just encourage families to get together, that is so important.
Yeah.
And I've lost friends through heart attacks, and you can't say anything to them, they've gone.
Yeah.
Whereas in our situation, we've got the... This sounds bizarre, but almost the luxury of time.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah.
And as you quite rightly say, a lot of people fear that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad because there is that time. You know, I lost my dad very quickly as well. And that's the one thing, you know, you never got a chance to say goodbye or anything like that.
That's what I'm saying. The acute sector, we just don't have that.
Yeah.
But what I love is the fact that you're able to speak and we can use those funny stories and there's so much to... But what I loved about what you've just said and you showing us actually that we are changing our attitudes to death and dying, and that is, I think people are scared. They're actually scared. So we've come back into the hospital. We want to get back into the hospice. And actually, you've just showed us figures that are saying, actually, that's not true. People want to now go back into the home where we used to die and it used to be this family affair, and actually you're showing us figures that's a trend possibly on the rise.
Yep. Well, that's right, and hospices enable that really, and the conversation even now this afternoon, not, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon, is going on, isn't it? And that's the important thing we're talking about.
Massive.
And I go back to Alan. We realized that he was going to die of cancer. We accepted it, and then we started a bucket list, and the things I did with him after then, we went onto a mountain in France and trekked up there, and he didn't done it before, went to Australia with him. We did so much and look back, and we gave him so many memories. We've got memories of him as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So fulfilling.
Fantastic. Martin, thank you so much for that. It's a very powerful thing that you do. Please do give Martin and the team at www.
World Wide Web.
FOWH.org. org.uk.
Perfect.
Check out the website, have a look. If you've got some good quality schmutter that you'd like to donate, then donate to one of the shops in Rochester, Chatham
and Sittingbourne.
If you're loaded and you've got real designer clothes that are in good condition, then especially they got a market for that. So do that. If you're thinking about organising a quiz night, a raffle,
anything mad,
you know, like dressing up in a pink tutu and zoomer in, or having your chest shaved in a shop window in Whitstable.
Yep.
Or anything like that. Why are you looking at me like that? You've not seen the photographs. Okay.
I've seen the tutu.
Have you?
Yeah.
If you're thinking of doing anything like that, do get hold of Martin and do talk to them about raising money for the Friends.
Thank you very much.
Martin, thank you so much for that. And do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're almost at the halfway point. We've still got dozens of emails and tweets coming in, and we will be reading them. What have you got, Bert?
Oh, my gosh. Join the team at Benenden Hospital, in fact. I love working at Benenden Hospital. It's a beautiful location in the countryside. There are just some reasons why more than 400 people work at Benenden Hospital, which has a long history of caring since it was founded in 1907. The staff benefits include 27 days annual leave, rising with length of service, performance-related pay, competitive salaries, a defined contribution pension scheme, and excellent life assurance benefits and subsidised restaurants. Now, Benenden Hospital, a private hospital, is open to everyone and has recently undergone a multi-million redevelopment, has a silver accreditation by Investors in People, and has been rated outstanding by the Care Quality Commission. To find out more about job opportunities at Benenden Hospital, how great is that to have a job opportunity thing? I love it.
Yeah.
And to book your place at the careers evening, call 01580 857-368 or go to www.wibblywobblyway. And that's benendonhospital.org.uk/careers.
Fantastic. So if you fancy working at Benenden, go along to their careers night.
Yeah.
It's a lovely place.
It's beautiful. It's
beautiful what they've done to it. I spent a lot of money on it. And while we're talking about all such things, I had a tweet from Jill Serkin as well.
How's your kitchen?
Yeah. She says, a great big Business Bunker shout-out, please, Vanilla Webb and Bird, for the brilliant and most caring physio, Tracy Miles and team, at, and this is a Twitter handle, TM Physio Ash. So she's been having physio again.
I don't even want to ask.
No, I don't want to ask either.
It's always best not to.
No, I think that. Yeah.
Just smile and wave.
You've got a chance for one more before we join the newsroom.
Fruitworks Community Workplace Workspace is expanding. We know this. We have easy access, no long-term commitment to hot desking, fixed desks and small private office space available in the expanded Fruitworks in Canterbury.